My name is Hayden Gleed, and this is the ProWrestling.net review of the ROH TV show. After this short break for non-members, I will be talking about the ROH show from this week, which was a sort of mashup of their recent UK tour. And we are back. As I said going into the break, this show was a mashup of the UK tour that ROH did in early November 2016. And basically showed how the situation with the TV title sort of played out on that tour. Now, my initial thoughts on this, I was sort of in two minds. On one hand, it could be very strange for them to air this now. After all, you know, since this tour, they've had the Final Battle pay-per-view, and they've also been promoting that the last 2 weeks were going to be airing the best of 2016 shows, so it just felt a bit weird. And on a personal note, the fact that they've been sort of promoting that as the best of 2016 shows, I've been hoping to have 2 weeks off. But, you know, alas, I'm here covering ROH again. But no, it beats sitting around eating three-day-old turkey, I suppose. So on a serious note, going into the show, I thought it might be a bit strange bringing all this back up again. But on the other hand, I kind of thought it through logically, and, you know, my best guess is why they're doing this is that they're probably trying to capitalize on sort of WWE branching out to the UK and basically showing their audience, hey, we go there as well, and this is what we do. So I guess it's a smart strategy, and going into this, I was kind of going in with an open mind. So we'll find out at the end of the show, you know, basically what my overall thoughts were. But before I go into detail of the show, once again this week, this podcast is all access, meaning that both members and non-members are listening to my beautiful Welsh accent. But know that for $7.50 a month, which is about £6 in British money, there is not only ad-free access to the website available, but tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of audio. You get Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, TNA, obviously ROH, and Lucha Underground, all reviewed weekly by various members of staff. On top of that, you get live coverage in written form of the majority of the shows live, again, like I said, in an ad-free environment. Imagine that. None of those little pop-ups telling you that you need to do this or you need to do that or you could have this, you could have that. None of that. It's just simple, proper wrestling coverage. You also get audio of the network specials and major pay-per-views from the biggest companies in wrestling. You know, obviously WWE, ROH, TNA, Progress Wrestling. But you also get discussion shows such as the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast with Will and Jake and the British Invasion with myself and Darren Gutteridge. Of course, though, where you get the biggest bang for your buck, get it, bang for your buck, Young Bucks on this show? Never mind. Is the .net weekly show where Jason Powell and a co-host talk about the news of the week, and there's usually first run news not reported anywhere else in that audio. If you are a fan of ROH, which obviously if you're listening to this you have some interest, myself and Jason this week will be going through the whole ROH roster and giving our evaluations. So that should be fun. It's probably going to be a long audio, especially with the fact that I like to talk quite a lot. But we will be going through every single member of the roster and giving our thoughts, and also with the contract situations, with the fact that ROH talents usually sort of sign up until the end of the year, there might be some little tidbits there of information. So again, all this is for $7.50 a month. So if you want to sign up, go to the main page of ProWrestling.net, find the sign up area at the top of the page, and within minutes you'll have access to all that I've said, as well as the archive of major interviews with some of wrestling's big names. Try this out, and I'm sure you'll want to stay around for more. So with that being said, let's get on with the show. We didn't have the usual opening montage to start off with, but instead we were treated to some quick highlights of the three shows that they did in Liverpool, Leicester, or Leicester, as Kevin Kelly once called it, and London, with some very generic music in the background. This package probably went on a bit longer than the one was necessary and sort of give away the ending of the matches that we were that were being showcased on this particular show, but you know, there we go. One of my nitpicks again. This was then followed by the usual ROH entrance. Kevin Kelly welcomed us to the show in a backstage setting. He said, "Tonight we would see highlights of a fantastic tour of the UK on the Reach for the Sky tour." He mentioned that they hadn't been there for 10 years. They talked about seeing matches from each of the three nights. He said the focus would be on the television title, but we would also see a dream match involving the Young Bucks that had to be seen to be believed. More on that later. So basically, the concept was, and they didn't really go into detail of this at the start, but essentially they were showing essentially the story of Will Ospreay over the whole weekend. But we'll talk about that more in a bit. So the first show was in Liverpool, and they showed the match between Will Ospreay against Bobby Fish. On the British indie scene, this show in Liverpool kind of did a bit of controversy. Preston City Wrestling, which operate in the northwest of England, they had an agreement with ROH that every year they would come over and they would have a sort of super show. I believe it was called Super Show of Honor, and it was essentially four shows that involved the best of the northwest talent in Britain and the ROH roster. Now, I attended shows of this over a two-year period, and they were a lot of fun. Now, what happened was that they were due to come over again for a third year this year, and they were going to have the talent stay in England after the ROH tour. But what happened was PCW arranged a show in Liverpool months and months and months ago, and then all of a sudden ROH were had booked a show in Liverpool the same night. So they were competing against each other, and as the promoter of PCW, a gentleman called Stephen Flutter, pointed out, he was paying for the talent to come over to essentially compete against him. Now, ROH never responded, to my knowledge, to the whole thing, but if that was the case, that is shocking, in my opinion. But eventually, PCW said, "Fine, we're tearing up the agreement. We'll no longer promote the Super Show of Honor. We'll barely use your talent," and essentially cut ties. And they then had their own Super Show with some indie groups. But yeah, so this particular show was not without controversy, shall we say. But anyway, back to ROH and this particular show. So the match that we were shown from it was Will Ospreay against, at the time, TV title holder Bobby Fish. This was actually Will Ospreay's official debut in ROH, and he came out victorious. Now, what I liked about this ROH show in general was they show three matches, and they essentially built up from the least best to the best. But that's no disrespect to this match. It was pretty good. It was what I'd call an average Will Ospreay match, which is better than most other people's matches, if that makes any sense. Basically, the finish came when Bobby Fish had Will Ospreay in a knee bar, but Will arched back and trapped Bobby and scored the 1-2-3 for the pin. A few notes from this match. I did notice that the crowd were extremely quiet. That's not like a Liverpool crowd that I know. I don't know if it was just this particular match, if they didn't really know who Will Ospreay was, which seems a bit strange for an ROH crowd. But it was pretty good. There was some points that it slowed down a lot, but Will Ospreay pulled out some of his amazing athleticism. I did note that all three matches over the three nights were called by Nigel McGuinness, Kevin Kelly, and Steve Corino. And Corino actually pointed out that this year or next year, will mark the 23 years he's been an active wrestler. And he pointed out that Will Ospreay is actually 23. So that must be such a weird sensation for Steve Corino as he's calling this match. What I also liked about this, and it goes against normal convention, is the fact the commentators are putting over and talking about, "Oh, this could be a shock, this could be a shock. Oh, can you imagine if this happened?" Which usually is a signal that nothing's going to happen. They're just trying to put over the match and try to build up anticipation. But essentially, it's never going to happen. But on this occasion, it did. So the next time we hear the commentator say, "Oh, this could be a shock," and all that, we're not just going to roll our eyes or just tune it out, because it could possibly be. Quite like that. What I didn't like is that they didn't call Will Ospreay's cheeky Nando's move, which is essentially when he puts his opponent up in the corner backwards, puts his opponent's head between his own legs, and then kicks him. He calls it the cheeky Nando's. Anybody who knows me knows I love Nando's. If you don't know what Nando's is, I feel sorry for you. So that was essentially the first match. Now, it was I do need to note that after the match, Bobby Fish placed the championship on Will Ospreay, patted his cheek, and then raised his arm. Ospreay then celebrated with the crowd. I do also want to note that during this tour, there was a family emergency that Bobby Fish had to return home for. Some have speculated that this is why the whole scenario over the weekend of two title changes happened, but I don't think it did, because I think it was after this match that Bobby Fish was informed of the emergency. So I don't think that if he'd been informed before that he'd even have competed. So I just think it was just a coincidence. But yeah, I just wanted to make note of that. And the other thing I wanted to note was that this was a house show, and the TV title changed on the house show. Nah, I'm not gonna rant about that. There's absolutely no point, because it's only a small nitpick. We went back to the backstage setting, where Kevin Kelly told us that this was an incredible match. I wouldn't have gone that far, Kev. He said that next up we would see Will Ospreay and his arch enemy Marty Scurll against the Young Bucks. It was at this point that I realized that we're going to be getting three Will Ospreay matches, which is, a good showcase for him. I was a bit concerned that we would get too much of a good thing, essentially, because, as I always say, I like steak a lot, but having three steaks in one night is a bit too much, and I was worried that we would just be getting the same spots from Will Ospreay. I needn't have worried. Kevin Kelly told us that in Leicester, and he made a point to say it correctly, the Young Bucks actually put up their tag team titles, and then he played up the fact that Will Ospreay could make history by winning two belts in ROH in his first two nights with the company. I did have a slight issue with this, only because, and again, I'm going to be accused of nitpicking, and I suppose I am, but essentially, they're trying to play a mystery of something that happened a month and a half ago, which, if you've been watching the television show or the pay-per-view, you would know that the Young Bucks were still the champions. So it's not, it just seems a bit like they're insulting the intelligence of the viewer. Again, as I said, it's just a more of a small nitpick, but I suppose it's with the concept of this show that they had to do this to sort of build up anticipation for the match. We actually joined this match mid-match. I did note that there was a lot of empty seats in Leicester, surprisingly. They started off with some indie comedy stuff, which I'm not a big fan of, but essentially for a TV, part of a TV show on the indie scene, it's quite fun. Essentially, the spot was they both blinded each other and then sort of like staggered over to the wrong corner, looking for a tag, when in fact they were in the corners of their opposition. And it's a bit of comedy, but I didn't particularly enjoy that bit for as part of a TV product. Anyway, I did find it really weird seeing Marty Scurll play a babyface at this point, because I've seen him play it before, but this was years ago. I've primarily seen him play a heel in Progress Wrestling, so it was a bit of a sort of shock to the system to see him play to the crowd as much as he was. I thought the mid part of the match was quite meh. I think that's the official term. Both teams sort of slowed down the action a little bit, probably a bit too much, but then things started to pick up. The Young Bucks went for the Meltzer driver, but Ospreay blocked Nick Jackson in a really, really cool move. This was followed up by some dazzling spots and some near falls for the British pair. There was a ref bump, which was followed by a super kick party. Marty Scurll got his umbrella from ringside, and went to hit the Young Bucks, but Will Ospreay stopped him. Marty passed him the umbrella, and Marty went and grabbed the tag champions. Will Ospreay took a swing, but the Young Bucks moved at the last second, and Ospreay ended up hitting Marty with the umbrella. For his trouble, Will Ospreay then took a double superkick, and the Bucks hit more bang for your buck on Marty for a very, very, very close two count. The Young Bucks then dominated Marty Scurll and went for the Meltzer driver once again. Ospreay tried to hit a counter, and this was fantastic. He tried to counter Nick Jackson springboarding off the ropes, and he hit a hurricanrana. But because of Nick Jackson's momentum, he still ended up hitting the Meltzer driver on Marty Scurll for the 1-2-3. I would actually recommend just watching this show to see that move. You know, it could look a bit contrived, and it could be an argument said that neither Will Ospreay hit got a lot of the hurricanrana, or Nick Jackson hit a lot of the sort of spike motion of the Meltzer driver. But at the same time, you know, you just have to sit back and enjoy the athleticism. After the match, Ospreay and Scurll argued afterwards, which led into the match the next night in London. We then went back to Kevin Kelly, who was in his backstage setting, and he announced that ROH would be returning to the UK in 2017. He introduced the final match and told the story of how the final night match between Will Ospreay and Marty Scurll for the TV title came about, essentially recapping what we had seen already in this show. Marty Scurll made his entrance, and essentially it's very much like his British indie entrance, which is a little bit weird, a little bit out there, but certainly unique, and I did like it. Will Ospreay's, on the other hand, how can I put this politely, sucked. I hate his music in ROH. I really don't like it. It's so generic, so boring, and for someone so flashy and sort of eye-pleasing, the entrance is just bleh. Because of the crowd, though, I have given Liverpool and Leicester's fans a hard time, but the London fans were really into this match, and they sort of made it feel like a big match. For instance, at the start they were doing dual chants, and although I think Marty was supposed to be the heel in this, the crowd were just excited to have two British guys in ROH. There was no code of honour to start the match. However, the start of the match was phenomenal. It showcased what myself and Darren Guttridge have been saying for a long time, and others as well. In all fairness, I know Will Pruitt is a big fan of the British indie scene, so I don't want to take full credit for saying all this, but if you watch the start of this match and just see the fast pace, the fluidity, and the athleticism, you'll understand why the British indie scene has been getting the reputation that it's been getting, and especially these two guys as well, who are standouts in all fairness. Following the hot start to the match, the crowd started chanting British wrestling, and amen, that's all I'm going to say. There was a nice spot in the middle of the match as well, where Will Ospreay was playing to the crowd, and Marty had just been taking a bump on the outside. He then crawled under the ring, so when Will Ospreay went to get him, he came out the other side and smashed Will Ospreay from behind. The end of the match came, though, when Marty Scurll went to the outside and grabbed his umbrella once again. He climbed in the ring with the umbrella and motioned he was going to hit Ospreay, who gave him the V sign. Marty then grabbed both his fingers and snapped the fingers as if he dislocated them, and then just stomped the hell on the top of Ospreay's head into the mat before then applying the chicken wing, and Will Ospreay had no choice but to tap. Yeah, a fantastic match. I really enjoyed this. It's not the best that they've had, but at the same time, the quality is just fantastic between these two. They know each other so well, and it comes through in this match. What I will say, I started this podcast by basically saying that I was conflicted by whether this was a good idea or not. Coming out of this, I thought it was fantastic. I really enjoyed this. They told a really good story over the course of an hour, showing the story that they built up over the 3 nights on the tour, and basically had a start, middle, and end, as daft as that sounds. And I just want to commend them for that. They did a fantastic job putting this together and giving you the feeling that you were seeing a whole story arc within an hour, but it didn't feel like it was rushed either. It was good stuff. I just wish that they'd got their timings a bit better in terms of the tour and the pay-per-view, etc. So this could have been a normal week's show, building up to the final battle where I believe they face Dragon Lee in a three-way. And I just think it would have added that little bit of extra bit of spice for the American fans who hadn't had any exposure to these guys going into that show. So yeah, I really enjoy this show. I guess I'm not the best person to say whether to recommend it or not, because I am slightly biased considering it's mostly focused on the British talent. But give it a shot and let me know what you think. I would really actually like to know other people's perspectives on whether this was a Blair show to them because they didn't really know who these people were, or whether you agree with me that it was a great way of introducing these new British talent into the ROH roster. With that, I'm going to take my leave again. Check out ProWrestling.net membership, $7.50 a month. I believe that's the same price as a Subway or a Big Mac in America. Give that instead to ProWrestling.net. Have all the access to the audio that we do and everything else that comes along with it. And I'm sure you won't be disappointed that you didn't get your sub or your Biggie Mac. You can find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleed. You can find my email address on the website. Got no blog to pimp out this month, this week even. Obviously with Christmas, there's just been too much going on. So with that, I'm going to take my leave, and I look forward to speaking to you again.